1 Corinthians chapter number 1 as we prepare, and I knew this afternoon would be partaking of the Lord's table, and I also wanted to, in our hearts, be continuing on with the subject matter of, and it won't be specifically a social matter today, but living biblically in a social world. I wanted to come back and really give us the emphasis this afternoon on the subject matter of preaching, because I believe that the social attack today, not just by the world, but I'm amazed even inside of churches when it comes to the point of just preaching the Word of God. Now, I do believe there is a difference between teaching and preaching. And I believe the difference is preaching is, thus saith the Lord, now deal with it. And it demands a response in our hearts, but teaching is actually more application. Okay, how can we apply this to our everyday lives? And there is a responsibility on the teacher to make sure that it's communicated correctly. But when it comes to preaching, it's the message that the Lord gave. And here it is. What are we going to do with it? And that responsibility's on us. There's been an attack on preaching inside churches, out of churches. Hey, let's come together. Let's share some things. And let me just give you a little sermon at. I'm amazed at how many, and if I'm not careful, I'm going to get into the preaching before I get into the message. But you never want to preach without a message. Can I give you that right there? You don't want to preach without a message. And but we get to the point, I'm amazed at how much today, and I have got on and done some research, and I want to know what's around us. And I'm amazed at how many messages that I've actually watched, and there was never even a Bible that was opened. That for the next 30 or 40 minutes, here they are talking and never set foot to a pulpit. Never open up a Bible, never say, thus saith the Lord. And so the attack that there is today, not just in the secular world and socially, but actually in the church house on the subject matter of preaching. Now, we're going to read some scripture here, 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. And I want you to see this in verse number 18, and we'll read down through verse number 24. The Apostle Paul, writing to the church at Corinth, he says this, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. And the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Now, you could take the time and look down through here on how many times the word preaching is used, how many times the word foolish is used, but he does not say foolish preaching. And that's where I believe that a lot have gotten to today. And I've been in services, and I'll give this example. We were somewhere, Brother Jordan and I were together. And so someone walked up to him afterwards. I think he had preached somewhere. And I'll go ahead and tell you, we were down south. And there's a lot of preaching that takes place that doesn't have a message. I'm just going to go ahead and say that. Okay? And so he'd got done, and everybody else is an expert, and everybody thinks that they can preach your message better. And so he got done one day. Someone actually walked up to him, Brother Dan, and walked up to him with a slip of paper. And he said, here's a good message for you. And here's what it said. You can ask Brother Jordan his exact words. He said, not much Bible in it, but it'll preach. Not much Bible in it, but it'll preach. I think that's why we are in the spiritual condition we're in America today because we've gotten away from the Word of God. We've gotten away from preaching. I still believe that there is a necessity for preaching in 2023. Now, I do not believe that we have to be rude about it. I don't believe that we have to be unkind about it. You can tell the truth of the Word of God with 100% love and grace, but say, thus saith the Lord. And as we look at this and the attack on preaching that there is today, it's probably now in my circles that I check out on Facebook and Twitter or X, whatever it is. In my circles, as I look at it, it's probably, and when I say this, Bible preaching, probably some of the most attacked stuff that there is on social media today. Now, the Bible does say here, by the foolishness of preaching, that it pleased God to be able to save people. So, I believe some of the reasons we're not seeing some people saved today is because people quit preaching. Quit saying, thus saith the Lord. And I want you to see a few things, and I just want you to make some application to our hearts and lives, understanding what we're supposed to preach. And we'll get there, and then that'll lead us right into partaking of the Lord's table. But I want you to see, first of all, the crowd and identify who preaching is foolish to. The Bible says here in verse number 18, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. Now, I've often sat back and considered on what it must be like for someone to walk in off the street that's never been in a church, that just something where driving by and, hey, I ought to go there. Let's go check them out at 10 o'clock on a Sunday morning and let's see what happens. I've often thought about some that you walk in from another religion and it's been all formality and stand up, kneel down, quote this, repeat this in a language that you don't even understand. And you walk into a Bible preaching church and a man gets up here halfway through the service and says, let's read the Bible. Well, there's a novel idea inside of a church. We've never done that before. Let's read the Bible. And then another man gets up here and says, hey, let's read the Bible again. And then here's something, and I'm going to give it to you. This is what the Lord has for us for a message for today. Do you understand the Bible says that to them that perish, it's foolishness. It ought not to be that the preaching of the Word of God, it ought not to be that it's foolishness to a Bible believer. It ought not to be, now I'm not talking about style of preaching. I've sat under about every style, quote unquote, that you can think of. I've sat under preaching that's foolish and foolish preaching. I've sat under both of them, okay? I've sat under, listen, I'm thinking, where in the world did you find that in the Bible? We've sat under that. But can I say Bible preaching ought not to be foolish? We ought not to teach our young people that, oh, it's just going to be preaching. We ought to never, ever minimize that the Word of God is going to be opened and that a man of God is going to stand up and say, thus saith the Lord, and preach from the Word of God. We ought to never identify with that. We ought not to ever be saying, hey, that's foolishness, because the Bible says the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. And identifying who is preaching foolish to? Those that are perishing. Can I put it this way? The unsaved. Which makes me wonder what's sitting in church houses all across America today that they believe that old-fashioned preaching is just foolishness. Now, listen, I'm with you. I'm from New England. I don't like someone to get up there for an hour and scream at me. We were in a meeting. I had one of our men that were there with me, and a man got done preaching. And our man, he looked over at me. He's like, that was a good message. He said, why did he have to yell at me for an hour? I said, well, let me say this. He fits in real good in Alabama and Georgia and Mississippi. I said, can't say I'd ever invite him to Granite State. You know why? Because I'm not going to let you sit there and get yelled at for an hour. If anybody's going to yell at you, it's going to be me. Okay? Now listen, I'm talking about Bible preaching. When they're giving us something from the Word of God, we ought not to be the generation nor raise up a generation that believes that preaching is foolishness. We ought not to be the generation that sits back and says, well, I don't know why they need to do that. Why can't he? And we joke about it around here. Get rid of the pulpit. Why don't you get up here and get a little stool? There's no authority for me sitting on a stool to say, thus saith the Lord. And I feel sorry for guys that get up here. They've run into a weed whacker with their jeans. And I mean, they're all cut across the front of it. And I'm thinking, you expect me to sit here and listen to thus saith the Lord. Listen, identifying those who think it's foolish, the Bible says it's them that perish. You ever get tired of hearing a message about the cross of Christ? We ought not to. The Bible says the preaching of the cross, it may be to them that perish is foolishness, but to us which are saved, it's the power of God. That means if you're getting low on power and you say, I feel like I'm living as a weak Christian right now, hey, go back to the cross. And there's just sometimes you say, well, Pastor, why is that always the message? It always comes back around to the cross. That's where we need the power for the weak. That's where we need to draw from and say, listen, what Christ has done for me. If you're discouraged and you're down, listen, identify. It's not that preaching is foolish. Listen, if you're going down and you think preaching's foolishness, there's something that's perishing in your life. But if you say, I'm a weak Christian right now and I'm just not thriving like I should, get back to the preaching of the cross. We don't need less preaching today. That's why we have weak Christians that have no spiritual power whatsoever to be able to live the Christian life, because you can't sit under preaching. Well, that preaching just doesn't make me feel good. Hey, I've been in services. Man, they preached it, and I'm thinking, you know why I didn't like it? Because it's hitting me right where I live. I want you to see God's investment for salvation. It's preaching, by the way. The preaching, we're identifying those that think it's foolish. That's those of them that are perishing. But look at verse number 21. Here's what God invests in. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Do you know what God's investing in today to be able to get the message of the gospel to the world? He's investing in preaching. Investing in preaching. That's what it's going to take. God chose by the foolishness of preaching. You say foolishness of preaching? Yes. Do you understand how this feels and looks week after week after week? To stand up here and with authority and say, thus saith the Lord, here's what the Bible says, and you sit there the same way I do. Because I've sat in those services, I'm thinking, I wonder if he knows how foolish he is up there. And some visitor walks in the back and I'm thinking, he must think I'm an idiot right now. The foolishness of but here's what I found. It is amazing. And God had to teach me this at a young age. I took my first mission trip. I was 20 years old when God allowed me to go over to the Philippines. For the first time ever, I would say something and the interpreter would say something. I would say something, the interpreter would say something. That started to become our life as we traveled, and I'd walk into a country and I'd be there, the interpreter would be there. And I said, you understand, when I get up there and I preach, he's taking what I'm saying and conveying it. I said, if we don't believe that's God that's doing something there, I said, it completely took me out of the equation of just having, I put it this way several years ago, of just learning at an early age to trust the working of the Holy Spirit of God. How a man can get up with, listen, feeble lips, not the best education in the world. If you want to see my education, it's hanging in the wall on back in there. If you want to see all that and be able to get up and say, here's the message that God's give to us, and through stammering tongues and this flesh, Holy Spirit of God works upon a heart. Well, what made the difference in your life? I heard preaching one day. And we sit back and say, well, it wasn't the charisma. It wasn't the well-polished. No, it was the preaching. And that's what has made the difference in my life. And I see over and over and over. We see it in Romans chapter number 10. And how can they preach except they be sent? You know what God's investing in today? Preaching. You know what's going to make a difference in this world? Not less preaching. More preaching. Preaching on a street corner, preaching in a jail, preaching in a nursing home, preaching around this world. We need preachers that'll be willing to stand and say, thus saith the Lord. He invests in preaching. Let me say this. I believe by the time we close out these verses here, I believe we see the ignorance without preaching. Without preaching. He said this starting in verse number 22, for the Jews require a sign and the Greeks seek after wisdom. What do we do? Hey, preacher, what message you got for us today? Christ. But we preach Christ crucified. Unto the Jews, a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks, foolishness, but unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Do you know why we have such... I've walked into some of these churches. You know why we have such ignorant churches today? No preaching. No preaching. And I'm not talking you have to get up and hoot and holler and carry on. We had one couple that walked out of here one day and they told someone else in our church, it was on a Thursday night, they said, well, I just don't feel like I was preached to tonight. That's what was said. You know what the person told him back? That's because he didn't get up there and put on a big performance for you. But he gave you Bible from the beginning to end, but you don't think you were preached to. And I thought, you know what? You know why we got ignorant Christians? Ignorant churches today? No preaching. I'm just standing up saying this is what the Bible says. Preaching Christ crucified. Why is it so important to keep the crucifixion of Christ and the gospel message in front of the church and in front of the congregation on such a regular basis? Number one, it's where our power comes from. Okay? It's where our power. And that's the only thing that's going to change and make a difference in a person's life. And if you and I will be consistently reminded about the cross of Christ in the preaching, listen, we'll constantly remember what Christ has done for us. And may I remind us that there is no level of service or commitment to the Lord too great in light of the cross. Why we don't have sacrificial Christians today? We're not remembering the sacrifice of Christ. What? Oh, that's just too much to ask. Really? Okay, let's go back and think about Christ. Well, Pastor, you hurt my feelings in preaching that message. Well, first of all, I may have done that. I may have in the delivery. Anybody? I'm not even going to ask you because I know I have. Well, how you say things, I can apologize for demeanor. But I'm not going to apologize about a message from the Lord. Not when it comes from the Bible. And this is the message God has for us. Listen, you understand, I got one job. And that's to preach the message of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you understand what I'm supposed to do? The Bible says that a pastor's been given to the church partly for the perfecting of the saints. Who here is perfect? Then my job's not done. And you know what the tools are that God gives to me to be able to get you perfect? Preaching. Now, some people don't need as much perfection as what others do, so they can do it in 30 minutes a week instead of the 3 hours of all the services. Preaching, that's what we have. I tell everybody, do you understand what our church is built upon? I asked Robbie Morrison 2 weeks ago after we got done. And I sat down with him and I said, brother, and I asked just about every preacher this. I said, did you have liberty to preach? I said, I'm talking that you were that they were receiving it. You know, there's a difference between proclaiming it and receiving it. When a preacher knows that he's preaching to that wall right there and that's as far as it's going and it's not being received, we can tell. We can tell. Almost like this afternoon. Just kidding. No, listen. I asked him, he said, man. And I told him, listen. I said, our people can take preaching. I said, as long as it's from, I said, you stay inside that Bible. I said, not your opinion, not your, what you heard down the road. I said, you stay with that Bible. I said, they'll take preaching. And I said, not in a rude and a nasty way. They'll take Bible. And I said, that's what I said. Some of the greatest preachers I said that I know have come through and preached hard messages right here. You know why I believe we have a loving church? Why we have a caring and compassionate church? And at this point, to the best of my knowledge, why we have a holy and a clean church and there's not a bunch of fighting and arguing and bickering going on? I believe it's because of preaching. I believe that. And I believe we ought to stay with it. And we are not going to cave in to the desires of this world of just get rid of the preaching. We're not going to. We're going to stand up, open the Word of God, and you're going to hear a Bible message. I don't want you to be ignorant Christians. I don't want it to be a stumbling block. I don't want it to be foolishness. If you think it's foolishness, then listen, there is something wrong with a heart attitude when someone says that preaching is foolish. There's something wrong. I ask the Lord to be able to help us not to cave to 2023 and the social agenda of getting away from preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I ask the Lord to keep the message of the cross focused, that you'll continue to hear it. That's the only thing that's going to make a difference is the message of Christ. They can preach all that they want. There's churches down the road. If you require a sign, then go get a sign. Ours is out front here, lights up every night. It's the only sign we got. If you want to go get a sign, then go get a sign. If you want, listen, a sign. If you want wisdom, you'll find it in the Word of God. But I'm saying this. Pastor, what do you do? Do you do signs and miracles? Listen, all I've got is Jesus. And that's all we're going to continue to preach and not cave to a social agenda of saying, why don't you make the people feel better? Do you understand? In light of Jesus and the cross, we realize how much of a sinner we really are. Isaiah, as soon as he saw the Lord high and lifted up, his next statement was this. Woe is me. You know why? He saw Jesus. And I'm saying we keep the message of Jesus, make much of Jesus. Everything else, I believe, will fall into place. Just keep preaching Christ. I still hold to the advice I've been given. Hey, what are you supposed to preach? One preacher said this. He said, no matter where you start in the Bible for preaching, make sure by the end of it you cut cross country to Calvary. He said, because everything beginning to end of what you preach out of this book, he said, is about Jesus. And preach Christ crucified. You know why? Because it's the crucifixion, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ that's going to make a difference in our lives. With that being said, that's why we have communion today. It's about Christ. It's not about your church requirement. It's not about your sacrament that I need to partake of this to be able to have a chance to be able to get to heaven. Boy, aren't you thankful that your eternity is not based upon whether you can get here to be able to drink some juice and eat a wafer? Well, I'm thankful for that. What if you got sick and you couldn't make it? Wonder if I'll be saved this week. But he gives it to us. Listen, as we focus on Christ, we ought to be able to walk out of here because we're pure and there's nothing between us and the Lord. But second of all, with the power, because we focused on the crucifixion of Christ. And boy, I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful so much. The preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. And God chose by the foolishness of preaching. Can I politely say this? Please don't ever come up and say, Pastor, we need less preaching. You know, I believe God's done something in the past few years. Is how many times, and I'm talking as a whole, as a ministry of our church, every week that the Word of God is being put out somewhere. And how many times during the week that the Word of God is being put out. Being put out. I believe God does something that honor the Word, honor the cross of Christ. It's amazing what God will do. Not foolish preaching. But the preaching of the cross, unto us, it's the power of God. Boy, aren't you thankful that God's given us this to be able to remember the sacrifice of Christ? If I can, why don't we do this? Joshua, why don't you come to the piano? Let's have our men come down and get ready to be able to serve. I was thinking about the cross. I was thinking about all that Christ has done for us. Aren't you thankful about the blood that Christ shed for us? There's not another message. Now you think about this, and I'm about out of preaching mode right now. You think about every message that this world will put out there trying to change lives. It doesn't happen. Why is it? Now, I'm not one. I'm not going to get into that stuff. It's the cross. You want a difference in a person's life, get them to Calvary and let Christ make a difference. That's where it's going to be made. You want to make a difference in the church? Preach Christ. You want a family that's going to be living for God? Keep the emphasis on Christ and Christ crucified. Paul said it again over in 2 Corinthians, "For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake." Preaching the cross. Everything about it. Do you understand? Everything about the church ought to be pointing to Christ and the sacrifice that he's made. Well, I'm thankful for that. And he's given us this physical example here that he put in place. You understand the history of it, that as he gathered together with the disciples in that upper room, and he instituted the Lord's Supper, the Last Supper, that as he was there. Do you understand? He was giving the disciples something to be able to pass on down through the ages to say, remember this. Here's a physical example, object lesson of what Christ did for us. And put it there that night to be able to say, listen, this is what. Think about how it was that night. That I'm sure they didn't have the cute little wafers like what we have today. But they would grab bread and tear that off. Can you imagine as Jesus explained to them, you rip that bread off. That's my body. That's broken for you. And laid that out to the disciples as they were there in the upper room. And told the disciples, what you are doing right now is what's going to be done to my body over the next 24 hours. That's what's going to be done. And that pattern has been established for us to be able to remember and to be able to rejoice and to be able to have power in what Christ has done for us. I couldn't imagine when it finally settled in. Can you imagine how it was when it finally set with those disciples when I ripped that bread off there? That's what my Savior went through for me. when that juice was poured out, that's what his blood did for me as he went through Calvary. And I thought, here we are today, and we think another message about the cross is foolish. Oh, preacher, we've heard that all before. You don't need to preach about the cross again. We're still going to preach about the cross. It was a great statement, and I should have read the whole thing. Don Andrews sent it to me one day. He said, Judy just showed me this on Facebook, and it was that question of why should we continue to go to church week after week after week. You remember sending that to me, Don? I don't remember everything that's happened. I don't remember what Pastor preached 10 years ago and going on and on. And he said this. He said, do you remember what your wife cooked you for supper 10 years ago? He said, no, but you've eaten every day and you're nourished and you're alive today. Why? Because you ate every day what was put out there and what was presented. And they said, think about spiritually where you'd be if you just hadn't heard the word of God every week, and you just continue eating and continue taking what the Lord's given to us if we just don't take it. I'm saying, Lord, help us to continue preaching the cross of Christ.